It's the Sound of Hockey episode 253. We're calling this one the Jamie Oleksiak episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, Jamie Oleksiak, he set a career high in goals last season with 9 goals. Mm-hmm. That's up 8 from the prior year.
Quite the improvement.
Yeah. He also played in his 500th game last season. Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Was one of 3 Kraken that signed and were drafted in the expansion draft, that exclusive free agent period that they, which I always have a soft spot for those guys.
Because they chose to play for the
Kraken. Yeah, it's kind of like they chose Seattle before they knew who was even on the team.
Yeah.
Right? So I appreciate them.
Quick, let's get quizzical. Darren, who are the other two?
Chris Drieger, and I can't think who the other one is.
Adam Larson?
Adam Larson. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. They would add a couple more in free agency, but Adam Larson was the one that they selected and signed. Mm-hmm. So Jamie Oleksiak also scored the 253rd goal in Seattle Kraken franchise history last season on November 3rd against the Minnesota Wild.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a good one.
I don't know how you found that out, but that's impressive work there.
It's so almost like I have a bunch of data. Yeah. And I can figure out.
Okay. This is the Sound of Hockey. I heard the word data and I got bored. So this is the Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter or the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And Curtis Izaki. Hello, Curtis.
Hello, everyone. Deep Sea Hockey on the Twitter.
And we're happy to be back with you. It is officially training camp season. Training camp is underway. We had rookie camp for a couple of days this week. But hockey is back now. It's not like, well, we'll probably say that again next week when preseason starts. And then we'll say it one more time when the regular season starts, right? We'll be like, oh, no, now it's like really back. Like I know.
What's crazy to think about, our next episode, we'll have an actual game or games, technically.
Well, yeah, split squad, yeah. Right?
So yeah,
there you go.
Big deal.
How do you like that, folks?
Yeah.
We are back. It's no more
stretching out the news.
We're still going to be doing that. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're still going to be doing that. It's kind of the name of the game when you are a niche hockey podcast that focuses mainly on one team. So that's just kind of how it goes. But we do have a 5-star review to share with you. It comes from our good friend McVeigh206. It says, best pod with the best segment. Please don't skip Goalie Gear Corner ever again. So, I mean, now I don't know who to listen to, right? You got McVeigh telling us one thing. You got Ryan telling us the opposite from last week. So, hey, speaking of McVeigh, we're going to try a little something new here. It is the Patreon starting lineup. At left wing, Jeff S. At center, JR. At right wing, Jonathan S. At left defense, Joseph VW. At right defense, Seth W. And between the pipes, McVeigh!
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That was really hard to do.
I know. That's a long
one. I was thinking
one.
About, like, you know, they're like patting your head and rubbing your tummy because I was trying to.
Yeah, you had to talk about it. Yeah. I was giggling the whole time.
I don't know if that's going to live on. Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Don't cancel your subs because you don't want us to do that, right? Please don't cancel your membership. That would be devastating.
I hope you got a good chuckle out of it anyway. One of the things we said on Patreon, though, is that you'll get recognition if you're at a certain tier. So
yeah,
we're starting to recognize some of our members, and we really appreciate you subscribing and showing us your love this week. That was
pretty
cool.
It was pretty amazing to see all you buy into this kind of community aspect approach to this whole kind of platform, if you will, between the podcast and the website. You know, we've got a long way to go for sustainability kind of approach, but I think you proved in, you know, 4 or 5 days that there's something to this community-based support that is pretty inspiring, and I'm excited to deliver more content for everybody all of a sudden, and very thankful for everybody who jumped on board. And for those that haven't, plenty of time to do that. But also, if you don't have the means right now or it's not your thing, that's totally cool. We want you here as well. So don't think we're ignoring you by any means. But really appreciate everybody kind of buying into this vision we have.
Absolutely. And speaking of Patreon, our members have already heard these potentially, but we do have two pretty great interviews coming up with Carson Rakoff and Ty Nelson. So those will be a little bit later in the show. Remember, Patreon subscribers do get early access. So they may have heard those already. But yeah, either way, you're going to enjoy it.
They're really good interviews.
They
too.
Are.
And, I think Carson really enjoyed your golf comment.
Yeah, yeah. I think he got a good chuckle.
I don't know
out
if it'll come off in the audio, but he did get a chuckle out of your handicap.
Yeah, when I told him what my handicap was, he thought that was pretty funny. So I don't know. I don't play that much, you know, and whatever. Takeaways from
I thought it was a good. You made him laugh. I thought I appreciated it. Yeah.
From rookie camp and day one of training camp, I wasn't able to personally make it to day one of actual training camp, but I was there for both rookie camp days. But I'd love to hear what you guys thought of today's outing. We're recording on Thursday night, and then what were some of who are your standouts from rookie camp?
So we're coming off day one of training camp. Two sessions, each ended with a scrimmage. And Coach Dave Haxtall said after that they planned the scrimmages because they wanted to get the level of competition up right off the bat, kind of set the level for where they wanted the team to be. And it made for some exciting watching, I think, for the fans. And so one play from one of the scrimmages that really stands out in my mind was Jacob Melanson laying an open ice hit during the scrimmages, which, you know, that sets the level right there. I mean, you're gotta keep your head up.
Made me a little nervous, to be honest.
It made me a little nervous.
There was multiple people kind of involved in that collision. So yeah.
Yeah, made me a little nervous, but showed that, you know, it was kind of emblematic of the whole day, though. I thought the pace was pretty good for a first day. The first scrimmage, I think the tone was set actually by a pretty unlikely line, but when you think about it, maybe it makes sense. Devin Shore, Brandon Tanev, and Cameron Hughes were playing together, and those are kind of some energy checking type of forwards, and I thought that line was just like flying, and everyone had to kind of like
match their
pace. Made for some fun watching. I have some other thoughts, but I'll kick it over to John.
And Decord with a little shutout in the afternoon game.
Yeah,
you don't
1-0 again. 1-0 against Drieger. So, you know, come on, day one. It's probably not that big of a deal, and who knows what kind of quality shots he got. But I will call out for the week, Edward Chalet looked really good, I thought.
Okay.
Better than I remember him at Dev Camp. And if you recall, he even mentioned that he hadn't been on the ice in a while prior to Dev Camp.
Mm-hmm.
He had a nice couple snipes that impressed me pretty well. And I guess I shouldn't be that impressed. He is a first-round draft pick, but he did not stand out like that at Dev Camp. He looked fine in Dev Camp, but this was something special, so there might be something to it. Also, our now current friend of the pod, Carson Rakoff, looked pretty good at times.
Big cannon of a shot there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that's what I gravitate toward. Yeah. So
yeah, every time he released the puck, it seemed to end up in the back of the net. So can't ignore that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And
right?
I was also very impressed in rookie camp by Ty Nelson, our other friend of the pod of this episode. So just, you know, he was getting paired up against Shane Wright, and we talk about that quite a bit with him, their friendship and
rivalry.
But I mean, he seemed to be like sticking right with him step for step, you know, and I think just there's something really special about that kid. I think his personality is awesome. And I think, you know, his on ice play, like he's a good player. And he's like offensively, he's very good, obviously, as a defenseman. But then to see him sticking right with Shane Wright, who theoretically should be the best player on the ice at rookie camp. Right. I mean, he's going right with him. And at sometimes he's beating him in these drills. So
do you recall if Ty Nelson got into a preseason game last year?
I know
Furkus
might have gotten into one, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So,
yeah, I have a vague recollection of that. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah, because one thing I note in the piece that's up on soundofhockey.com, we did a little roundtable, is that some of those guys will start to get even preseason games, and I think that's going to be an exciting kind of...
Yeah.
It's nothing, right? It's not something you want to be like, oh my gosh, this is a disaster, or like, this guy's going to be awesome. But it is a little bit of a benchmark to see how he does against high-end competition in preseason, right? High-end NHLers. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing some of these guys draw in, even though they're likely not going to make the team this year and might be a couple of years before we see him.
Speaking of which, there was at rookie camp, there was a line that stuck together for a lot of the rookie camp, which was Ty Cartier, Shane Wright, and Ryan Winterton, which is pretty exciting.
Like a very good Coachella line.
It could very well be a Coachella Valley line this year that we see play. So, you know, do they draw into a preseason game? Even if not, just seeing them skate around at camp is pretty exciting to think about what the possibilities are. I mean, this is where the Kraken are at in their organizational trajectory now, I mean, you have these prospects coming up through the AHL. Yeah. So it's pretty fun.
This is our first real look at Winterton up close. I mean, he, totally. You know, he's had injuries and just like, it's crazy that he's been in the organization. This is his third year, technically, yeah, he's in the organization. The
original draft.
But yeah, interesting to actually see him out there.
We did see him at Dev Camp, but like that's it wasn't as nearly as intense as it is right now.
Yeah, so, a little different. Know. So, okay, that's our takeaways from first couple days here of rookie camp / training camp. Other Kraken news: we knew that Dave Tomlinson had moved on from the Kraken. We weren't quite sure where he had landed, although it sounds like he kind of landed a dream job there as the color analyst for his hometown. Well, hometown is in where he lives, the Canucks. So. Good for him. And he's doing TV now. He's jumping from radio to TV. He'll be doing working for Sportsnet there. So very good. I like that. I like Dave. So replacing him as the color guy for Everett on the radio is going to be Al Kaniski, who, and when I say Everett, I mean Everett Fitzhugh. Al Kaniski, though, used to be the play-by-play guy for the Everett Silvertips, which is a little confusing.
I can see how that would
yeah.
be confusing.
And
but he's going to be the color guy for Everett.
Correct.
Again.
Yes.
Fitzhugh.
I know.
Yeah. He also played for the Thunderbirds. We should mention, by the way, that this isn't official yet, but it has been reported by Jeff Baker. So, yeah. Any thoughts on that?
I guess tune in on your radio dials on Monday. See if they're
I have
calling
no
the game.
Idea how good. Yeah. And I didn't get the bummer. Well, not the bummer, but like I go to all the games, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't get to hear Everett or John or Allison sometimes. The only time I get to hear Everett and Dave last year was when I was literally going to my beer league games at night when the Kraken were playing.
Okay.
And with a 6-minute commute to Kraken Iceplex, where majority of my games are, I don't get to hear too much of Everett. So that's kind of the little bummer I feel, because when I do hear him, he's awesome, but I just don't get the opportunity to hear it that much. But
well, you should come sit where I sit and then you can just listen to him live.
In the press
area. No. We don't have to say where it
I
is.
I hear there's it's no just, cheering allowed.
It's a part of the building.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But if you
cheering.
You might be able to hear him live. That's all.
Okay. So. I mean, technically, you can use the Kraken app. I think they have a way.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I've never been one of those, though, right? Like, have you ever gone to a sporting event and, like, listened to the broadcast to...
I think when I was, like, 10,
yeah, okay.
I did that with a baseball game.
Yeah. And I know that, like, some people do that and they get joy out of it. But for me, like, I want the ambiance of the game telling the story, you know, not so much. And, like, what my brain is seeing and processing. So
I'm with you there.
But nonetheless, I think it's a cool way to
enhance your experience.
Yeah, your experience and hear what they're saying about it.
So, if you're into it, yeah.
If you're into that. Okay, so that's our Kraken news. Let's jump right into our interviews here with Carson Rakoff and Ty Nelson. You'll hear Carson first and then Ty. Here they are, a couple of high-flying Kraken prospects. We now welcome onto Sound of Hockey a very special guest. He was a second-round pick of the Seattle Kraken in the 2023 NHL Entry Draft. He's played the last two seasons with the Kitchener Rangers of the OHL. Welcome to the show, Carson Rakoff, and thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So it's day one of Kraken rookie camp here. I know it's your first time getting together with this group of players, but... You know, we're getting some kind of first day of school vibes here, certainly. Do you feel that a little bit as you're getting to know the guys?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got in here about 2 days ago, so I had, like, Finn assessing one, actually, but kind of first gate with the whole staff since Dev Camp, so it was really good.
And, you know, I know you've obviously been here before, but what have your impressions been of the team, the facility, everything going around the Kraken organization?
Yeah, obviously here? It's first class. It's the National Hockey League, but I think they do it really well here. Obviously, they treat us unbelievable, and it's really a treat to be here and just trying to take advantage of everything kind of offered to me and just really take advantage of this time here.
And was Dev Camp the first time you've ever been to Seattle?
Yes.
And like, what did you think of the city when
you came? it was awesome. Everyone asked me that because I guess it's kind of a place not too many people from back home have been to, but I love it here. I think it's super nice with kind of the water and the mountains and everything. So it's been really good.
Have you been to Vancouver before?
Yeah, so that's why I say
it's pretty similar.
It's pretty
right?
it's a close Vancouver for
okay.
sure.
How does it compare to your hometown of Barrie?
Yeah, I live pretty much in the middle of nowhere, so I think my population in my town's like 100, so it's not quite the same, but I love it. I lived in the city for a couple of years when I played in Toronto, so I'm used to it.
So you're off to a very hot start in the OHL preseason. You've played a couple of games there. Saw you had a hat trick against Oshawa the other day. Does something feel a little bit different going into this season for you? I mean, last year you going in, you got the draft waiting on you, and this year you've been drafted, right?
going into your 19 season. Does it feel a little bit different?
Yeah, for sure. I think being a younger group, obviously going for it last year, I think I had a lot of good older guys that was pretty close with last year, getting to learn from them. And I think going into this year, it's kind of me being one of the older guys, most experienced guys, I think I've kind of taken it upon myself to really build a great culture in our room. And I think it's going to be a big reason for our success this year. Obviously, being a younger team, it's tough in the OHL, but I think we have a lot of guys who are buying in, and it's nice to see everyone's on the same page for sure.
And what are your expectations for that team this season?
Yeah, I think I just want to win. I think we have a great staff. We hired really well. Obviously, a pro coach that's been unbelievable for our group. So there's a lot of guys who maybe didn't get too much ice time last year because of how deep our team was that are really showing promise. So I think we have a lot of potential. I think we can do pretty well.
And so how was your summer, maybe like training wise, compared to previous summers, right? Like obviously last year you're going into your draft year, you probably have a different approach, but what was that like?
Yeah, I think I spent my whole summer with Andy O'Brien, and I think skating with the pros, like guys like Alexiak were out there for the whole summer and worked out in my gym. So just being around those guys and seeing kind of how they go about their days, I thought really helped me and really gave me a good summer for sure.
And does Jamie like come up to you and say, you know, welcome to the Kraken, or did you already know him at that time?
Yeah, like I didn't speak to him too much before, but obviously he was great to me all summer. I worked out with him a lot, kind of doing track and whatnot. So he was unbelievable to me, and it was definitely really nice to kind of have a familiar face here.
So what's a typical summer day like for you? I mean, I'm sure you have your training regimen in the morning, but then what happens after that?
Yeah, so I stay in Oakville for the summer, kind of because it's a bit far from my house. So I stay in Oakville and I work out, skate every day. So it's pretty early, work out around either 8 or sometimes 11, depending on which day, and then just skate afterwards. So that's pretty much go about that, and then obviously mix in some golf.
How's the swing these days?
It's good. It's good. I've been playing well this summer. So
do you keep a handicap?
It's up and down, but probably about a 10 to a 12.
10 or 12, okay. That's
bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad.
I consider myself probably like a 20 to 22, which is kind of off the handicap scale. So I at least can get around the course, but yeah. So you got golf. What are some other hobbies or interests away from the rink?
Yeah, I'm an only child, so I spend a lot of time with my friends and mm-hmm. family. So I'm a pretty social person, so I like to spend time with kind of my friends back home when I'm home.
And so one thing that jumped out at Dev Camp when you were here earlier this summer was your shot. And clearly it's a strength of yours, but you're also a big body. You can play physical at times. But how did you develop that shot? What was your approach to developing that?
Yeah, I think I've always loved to shoot pucks. I think from a young age, I would wake up before school and shoot pucks every day. So I think it's something I put a lot of time into, spent a lot of time watching video and stuff, and something I work on a lot back home in Kitchener. So I think it's something that I really try and pad my game around, and makes me pretty dangerous in the offensive zone, I like to think so.
And do you have a dry land like shot training like in your basement or anything?
Yeah, I did, and then my mom stopped letting me do it because I broke too much of her stuff, so I just have to shoot at the rink, or I have a rink by my house that I shoot at, outdoor rink. So.
Okay, and then you also played lacrosse, I believe, as a younger. You think that helped like develop some physicality of your game a bit?
Yeah, 100%. I think it was good for me confidence wise with my body and going to physical, like the physical game at Pee Wee, I guess, or Minor Bantam. I think obviously in the OHL, like I think it's a pretty, our conference is pretty physical, and that's kind of the way we like to play. So I kind of got into it pretty good as a 16-year-old, and it's something I really like to play with.
Does that shot translate pretty well to hockey?
Yeah, like I think it really helps your wrists and kind of your movement of your wrists and kind of being able to change angles and stuff, I find. Yeah.
A couple more for you. Getting back to Kitchener here. You were born in Barrie, right? You grew up there?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you have any loyalty to the Barrie Colts?
Yeah, so it's pretty, like, so I grew up watching Barrie my whole life, like every season. But I have, my dad's from Kitchener, small town outside of Kitchener, and my whole family lives in Kitchener, my dad's whole side. So I always went to Kitchener games as well. But, yeah, Barrie was the team I grew up my whole life watching. And then it was just, obviously I was supposed to go to school, so I really had no idea what was going to happen. And then Kitchener ended up being the team that took a chance on me. And then it's kind of hard to say, obviously I weighed my options for a long time, but it was kind of hard to say no to an organization like Kitchener. And I'm happy.
You did have a brief commitment to Muskegon, in the USHL?
Yeah.
And that just changed because...
Yeah, I know a lot of times people do that just so they can go to a team, and I get that's why people always think that, but no, I was fully going to school. I was fully committed to going that way. Like I didn't talk to a team throughout the whole process out of respect to my commitment, and it took me like 3 months 2 months after the draft to even make my decision. So.
And did you have a college in mind at that point when you were going the USHL route?
Yeah, like I think the typical schools, okay, like Michigan, North Dakota, schools like that.
Yeah, that's interesting because obviously we have WHL here and there's always that path that people choose. And I just know that you chose Muskegon for a bit and then that changed. But it was also around COVID times, right, where it wasn't.
Yeah, that's a big thing for it. It was just another option to be safe because at the point in Canada, we didn't even know if we were going to have a season the next year or anything about the draft. So it was a tough position to be in, and it just made things a lot easier.
All right, last one. If you had gone to school, what would you have majored in? What was obviously you're marching towards a hockey career here, right? But like, what would have been the other route?
This is the part. I think business probably. Yeah. I'm into that, like business stuff like that. I think that'd probably be what I'd lean into for sure.
Be like a CEO somewhere one day.
Yeah, maybe.
Still, maybe, never know.
Yeah,
cool. Plenty of time to do that after hockey.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for doing this, though, Carson. Best of luck to you.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Thank you.
All right, we now welcome on to Sound of Hockey a very special guest. He was a third-round pick of the Kraken in 2022, and he spent the last three seasons with the North Bay Battalion of the OHL. Welcome, Ty Nelson, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are very excited to be talking to you. It's actually the first time we've ever gotten to speak with you directly, I think. So this is fun stuff, and it feels like it's been a long time coming because we know about your personality, we know about your story a little bit, and we've been big fans, and so we're excited to be finally chatting with you in person. Let's start here. We're here at Rookie Camp, and I've noticed that you have just a little bit of seems like an on-ice rivalry with Shane Wright going on. What can you tell us about that? What's the dirt there?
No, there's no dirt. Me and Shane, we've been buddies since we were 6 or 7. We played against each other, with each other, spring hockey, all that sorts, and then, luckily, this past year when we finished our season, we were lucky to go to Coachella, and I roomed with him a bit out there, and then now we're roommates here. So it's always fun going up against him, and I mean, we've always been ones to line up against each other, try and push each other, and make each other better.
Who does the cooking?
The cooking? He's a cooker. I can't lie. He likes to cook.
You clean the dishes then?
Yeah, I'll do the dishes. All right. Yeah, we got a good system.
That works. What has this experience been like for you? I mean, I know it's not your first time here in Seattle by any means at this point, but so far these first couple of days, how's it gone for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Obviously, second time around here, it's a lot more comfortable, you know, more of the guys. And even that experience in Coachella, because now you get to know the coaches a little bit better. But I think for me, it's just trying to learn from everybody and trying to take pointers from all the coaches. I mean, you want to move on to the next level, you got to listen and understand what they're trying to tell you. So I think that's just the biggest part for me, is hearing what they're saying and trying to add and improve every day.
And you've had quite the run so far at North Bay. I mean, this past year, I mean, unbelievable, 76 points in 67 games from a defenseman. That's impressive stuff. I'm curious, what is it about the fit there that's been so good for you? Like, why has it been such a successful fit for you playing in that team?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've just had overall, like, great teams the years that I've been there, and I've been blessed to play with some great players, and I mean guys that have now moved on to the AHL, NHL,
and right on cue there goes Shane Wright giving me a little nudge.
We have a great system in play there. I mean, our coaches are fantastic. I've learned so much from them, and now just like I said, just we got a great goalie in net, we got some great forwards, great D, so we have a great squad, and they just make my life easy.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you're shooting the puck a ton this past season, and watching you out here today where you're doing some practice with the little kind of Alex Ovechkin set up there, that left circle one-timer kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Has that always been your game, just blasting away at the net, or is that something kind of new that's come from North Bay as part of the coaching?
Yeah, I believe, like, my first year in North Bay, I wasn't really much of a shooter. I was more of a passer, mm-hmm. and then they wanted me to shoot a lot more and preach and utilize my shot. So, I mean, as you see last year, I think I led the O in shots, so I was just trying to get the puck on net and create some offense from there, and then halfway through the season, they switched me over on the power play to that spot. So I always like to get out after practice and practice those, make sure I'm putting pucks in the right area. So, well, that way, if I get one in the game, I know I can put it in the back of the net.
So a couple things we've heard from you about you is your positive attitude bringing on the ice, and then
which hasn't shown at all in this interview.
No, not at all. Yeah. Well, and I'm going to say we've also seen it right in practices and games and scrimmages. It looks like you're having a blast, right? Where does that piece come from?
I think honestly, it comes from my family and my upbringing as a human being. I mean, growing up as a kid, I wasn't always living in the best area or was blessed with all the doing all the privates and stuff like that. So I believe I come in every day, and it's a blessing to be able to play the sport that I love and be able to train with the top end guys, top coaches, and at an unbelievable facility like this. And I think I'm just super blessed to be able to do this, and I thank God and my parents every day for it.
Does it get on your teammates' nerves sometimes where you're having a blast, like during practice and doing scrimmage?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's been a few times where some guys, me and them, I've just been poking at some guys' buttons. Like I get in. And Shaner, actually, I like to get in his ear a little bit. And
yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw the mic'd up dev camp, but I was poking at him a little bit during the game. But yeah, it's all fun and games. So it's great.
And Shane's like takes it so seriously too, right? So it's like a polar opposite. You're like, is he getting on his nerves or what? So anyway, it's always been. And fans pick up on that; they love it. So last year, one of our writers did a story on you, and he talked to your coach. His name's Josh, but we did a story, and the coach described would rather get hit by a door or a bowling ball than hit by you.
Well, the quote was referencing like your physicality, right, and your physique, and like, you know, you're not the tallest guy, but you're sturdy, right? So bowling ball versus door is that a pretty good way to describe you as a bowling ball? Is that
that's a tricky one, but no, I mean, I like to bring a physical aspect to the game. I mean, not being the tallest guy, I got to be physical, and I am a little bit stockier, so I like to use that to my advantage. And I think sometimes it catches guys off guard because they think, oh, he's just a small guy. So I think that's definitely to my advantage. If I can use my body to try and box a guy out or pin a guy on the wall, I'm going to do it for sure.
You're taller than both of us, and you can fit in a regular airplane seat. So that's a positive.
That's an advantage, right? I've always thought about that. So what are some areas you're really trying to improve in part of your game?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a motto I've always went by is there's always room for improvement everywhere. You can always get better. And I think one specific place I'm really trying to work on is in the neutral zone, trying to be better at like batting pucks down if a guy's trying to throw a saucer across ice, or trying to disrupt plays in the neutral zone, trying to close and not let the forwards gain the blue line.
So is there something that you can do in the off season to work on that kind of stuff? Like if you're, I mean, I'm sure you do skates and your workouts and everything, but like, do you practice that specifically, trying to whack pucks out of the air and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like do some hand-eye coordination. I actually learned how to juggle this year.
Oh.
So I think that'll hopefully help, just the hand-eye that way. And then lucky enough for me that my gym has a shooting pad. So I'd get my trainer, he'd stand at one end and I'd stand at the other, and he'd saw some pucks, and I was just working on trying to bat it down and trying to disrupt it from obviously getting through like it would be if it was a pass. So I was just trying to do that, and then obviously every summer just trying to get bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah. And now you've gotten some pro experience, so like you're going into a probably a little bit of a different era of your career here, right, when you think about it. I mean, has your mindset shifted at all? Like the draft is behind you now, you're a leader in North Bay, right? Like how does your approach change going into this next season?
I don't know if it changes. I think it just develops to that next step. And I think for myself is that always having a goal in place is something I strive for. Like I always like to have a goal, so the draft was the goal. I accomplished that.
Yeah.
And then it was the contract, accomplished that. And then now it's obviously going to be this year in North Bay, like having a great season, or even like my goal for this camp is just to make my name and hopefully stay.
Yeah.
And like everybody, like Hack said, everybody's competing for a spot. And obviously the number one goal is to try and earn my way onto the team.
Right.
And if it's not this year, go back to North Bay and have another fantastic year, develop as a player, a person, and an overall human being, and just try to become better in every aspect of life.
I love that.
And what's the outlook for North Bay as a team this year, right? I don't know who's rolling off and who's pretty deep run in the playoffs last year, but how's it look this year?
Yeah, I think we're gonna be good. We got some new faces in the room, which is nice. It's always nice seeing the young guys come in, because feels like it was just yesterday I was the young guy coming into the room, but now I'm one of the old guys. But I think we're gonna be pretty good. We got a fantastic squad. Our coaches have unbelievable systems that we've been running, so hopefully just get those put together and then go on another fantastic run.
All right, last one for you, and thank you so much for your time here today, Ty. Tell us about Ty Nelson away from the rink. What are the hobbies? What do you like to do? How do you burn off, you know, steam or whatever that phrase is? What do you do away from the rink?
Yeah, I think for me it's, right now it's a lot of football, watching a lot of football, making sure my fantasy team's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
How are you doing so far?
I'm 1-1, so not too bad.
Yeah.
But I think for me, myself, is just Hanging out with friends, playing golf, hanging out with my billets. I'm really close with my billets, and I love it because, like, I'll come home from practice and stuff one day, and then I'll just go hang out with my billet brother, and we'll play games or talk about his school, help him with his homework, which is great because there's, like, you hear obviously the horror stories of guys just going home and sitting in the room all night, but with me, that's not the case. I have fantastic billets, and they've been great for all 3 years that I've been there. And yeah, like I said, like just going home, hanging out with the guys, like we do poker nights and stuff. So just doing that sort of stuff. I think it really helps me because I feel like if I'm flustered or frustrated, like I tend to get into my own head a little bit. So just being around the guys and having some fun and that sort of stuff is always, it always helps out a lot.
Awesome.
I've got one more question.
Yeah, do it.
What's Shane's go-to dish for dinner?
Oof. He can cook up a mean stir fry.
Okay.
But honestly, like, so when we were in Coachella, I didn't room with him in Coachella. I roomed with him when we were on the road, like Hershey and Milwaukee and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but now here, like, we've done some pretty, like, we're 3 for 3 on nights right now with good meals. Like, we've ordered from some good places, so we're doing pretty good.
What do you think about the Seattle cuisine?
It's really good. Honestly,
do you like sushi or is that okay?
Love it. Yeah. So that was really good. But we hit up a good, nice like. Pad Thai place.
Okay.
We had that for one night. Nice little like evergreens type salad place.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And then we ordered some Italian last night too. So, it was great. So
got the range. Too.
Yeah,
you got the range.
We're trying to broaden a little bit. But now I think tonight we got a day off tomorrow, so we're gonna go out to Edmonds, go to Salt and Iron.
Okay.
Cool. So we went there last year with Daniel Sprong when he was here. So,
cool.
He was in the hotel, so we got to hang out with him a lot and. Like he taught us a lot of things, so he was a great role model last year for us. But we always go and hit it at least once while we're here.
All right, he will be very much missed in the locker room this year. I loved chatting with him last year. So
yeah, he's great. Like we'd go home and we would play euchre for hours, like upon hours, because you come in the morning, you work out, you skate, and then what do you got to do the rest of the day, right? So, but he was great. He really taught me a lot of things, so I'm super grateful for him.
I bet there's a lot of listeners that don't know the game euchre. It's a very regional game. John, do you know the game euchre?
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's a Midwesterners. We love it in the Midwest, so it's a very regional game. But all right, well, Ty, thank you very much for the time. Definitely rooting for you this year.
Thank you.
Best of luck in camp here, and if you stick with the team, that'd be awesome. Man.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you, and even if not, we really appreciate the time, and I'm sure we'll be keeping tabs on you. So
awesome, thank you guys. Cool. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Carson and Ty, for joining us. Doesn't your day just get uplifted from hearing Ty Nelson?
Yeah,
talk?
And man. You heard it, but imagine his smile ear to ear. Like he's a treat to talk to. It looks like you're not bothering him. He's excited to talk to you and funny stuff. I love that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do some NHL news and then we'll get to our segments, which we're going to do one segment, that's for sure. And then we have another segment that is making its triumphant return after a long hiatus. So that'll be fun. But our NHL news, we just need to close the loop here because last week we talked at length about the Mike Babcock situation. But then between the time that we talked about it, because remember we did cocktail hour on Friday, we intentionally held the podcast until Monday morning because it didn't make sense to release it on like Saturday night or Sunday morning. So we held it until Monday morning. In those 2 days that we were holding it, Babcock resigned and they had a press conference. This has been covered a lot, so we don't want to like get into it too deeply here.
Yeah,
and we talked about
no
it a
longer
lot
there.
Too. He's gone. So. Move on? Do we move on?
Carry on.
Who is coaching them? I actually don't know this. Okay, you guys don't know either. That's fine. The Ottawa Senators officially sold to Michael Andlauer. The bid was $950 million. Now, this is no surprise. We knew that this was a long time in the making. We talked about it before. But $950 million, which is the highest price ever for an NHL team to be sold.
I will say.
And that's for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, and...
No
what
offense.
Say, what are you saying, Derek?
remember, Eugene Melnick's daughters have retained 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And what is interesting is I don't know if that $950 million is an evaluation, meaning it includes the 10%, or if it's because if it's just for 90%, that means the value of the team is
more than a billion, right?
More than a billion. Yeah. So
could be.
Couldn't get clarity on that. I apologize. But yeah, that's when you get non-finance people covering a story.
The Ducks are opening training camp without Trevor Zegras or Jamie Drysdale. Both of them are restricted free agents and neither of them have signed contracts. So trouble in paradise there, you might think.
Yeah, I guess so. That's those pretty big names to be not starting training camp with.
Yeah, when you're not in contention for Stanley Cups, your priority should be paying and retaining your premium young talent. I don't really know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And there is some rumors that I saw some rumors that people are interested in Zegras as far as of a trade. And they looked relatively reputable, but yeah. I don't know if this just gets out there kind of stuff, but interesting.
The Canucks have also traded Tanner Pearson to Montreal for goalie Casey DeSmith. So we had a trade this week.
This is a little bit
classic
of a salary,
September trade.
And this is a little bit of a salary dump. Not salary dump, I should say. It's kind of trying to be compliant because they believe they're still over the cap right now. But this makes it a little easier to get under the cap for opening night.
And that is a great segue into our segments. And we're going to start with everyone's favorite segment except for Ryan.
And me.
And John. Curtis, where does it fall on your...
No comment.
No comment. It's at least on your spectrum of segments, and it's hopefully towards the more positive side of the spectrum.
Carry on.
It is Goalie Gear Corner! Goalie Gear season is very much in full swing. Remember, this is another one of those, right? We've said before, like, oh, Goalie Gear season, we're in full swing. Now it's full swing because... You know, all the writers and whatever are getting looks at various pieces of equipment. Well,
so
we're starting.
How many of these will be junior goaltenders?
Zero, yeah. Actually.
Like
zero.
As in
zero.
Youth hockey.
Yeah, not, as not in junior. Yeah, not even major junior. We're talking like, okay. All right, so zero. All right.
Zero. All of them are at least professional goalies. So, but that was a sick setup that kid had.
It was.
Let's be honest. Old friend Martin Jones has a very nice new mask. He's with the Maple Leafs now. It's painted by Eye Candy Air, and he went with a tribute to the 10 most iconic goalie masks in Toronto history, including, and I thought this was pretty funny, that they had an Eddie the Eagle reference, Eddie Belfour, which when you think of Eddie Belfour, you certainly think of the Toronto Maple Leafs, right?
For sure.
That's where definitely. He had his best years.
First thought, yeah.
That in San Jose.
Yeah, but man, I really do like it. I think it's super cool. On the back, he's just got like a bunch of Maple Leafs. I think it's pretty creative, though. Like the way that they incorporate the Cujo and Felix Potvin is on there. So it's good stuff. I really like it.
If you're a Maple Leafs fan, what would you pay for that mask? Like unused almost.
Like that to just buy that mask?
That is just an amazing piece of art.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, in theory, though, like you could have... you could buy a mask for a couple $100. You could actually pay a mask artist. I mean, I think to have a mask artist paint your mask, it probably starts around like $500. So it's not like crazy.
What do you think that one would cost?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what, like when you get to the guys that actually paint for pros, you know, they're obviously their rates are much higher and they'll only do it for certain people. So
I see your point though, John. I mean, since it's a tribute to other Toronto masks, you could imagine this being a good auction piece or something like that.
Yeah, like it's pretty cool. If that was Kraken, I'd be like, first of all, I'd have to figure a place for it in my house, but I'd be all over that.
You'd have to make sure the Hellberg setup was represented. Otherwise, you would not be interested, I'm sure.
The legacy Kraken mask.
But I will say just about this one that it's a contrast from his setup last year with the Kraken, which seemed much more simple.
Yeah,
much more simple. This is a very busy mask. I encourage people to check it out.
Yeah. Our next goalie gear corner, there's three of them this time. The next one is going back to the Ducks. So Lukas Dostal, he's got... it's just a pretty basic True setup, right? Like True doesn't do a ton with custom graphics or anything. But I think the colors here are pretty cool. And it's a reminder to me that the Anaheim Ducks are doing their eggplant jerseys this year in honor of their 30th anniversary. So I had to think of what the color was there. But yeah, I really do like it. I think it's got a nice mask with it too, with Wild Wing the Duck at the top. So I'm excited to have the Ducks back in eggplant and teal or whatever these colors are called. So
a Zegras less... eggplant.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And then our last one comes from Jacob Markstrom, who has a Johnny Cash themed mask. It's interesting. I think it's interesting. I do like that this mask artist, JBO Airbrush, he's called. I do like that he adds some flair to the actual cage of the mask. I don't see other goalies using that.
Yeah.
But these are like Polaroid pictures of Johnny Cash that are burning like a ring of fire. So it's a creative thing. I like it.
And they're the ring of fire on his chin around the number 25 for the ring of fire of Johnny Cash.
Okay. Right.
What I'm a little confused about, and maybe it exists, but one of the pictures of Johnny Cash has him in a red blazer.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen...
He's the man in black.
He is the man in black, yeah. And I haven't seen him wear a lot of non-white and black. But it might exist. I'm sure he's worn
color.
You
gotta think he went off of a real picture there, wouldn't you think?
Unless he just wanted to incorporate red. It could have been a real picture. It could have been just a black blazer. But I'm a fan of Johnny Cash, so...
Okay. So you like the mask?
I do like the mask.
Okay. It's not my... I like it. It's not my favorite one out there, but I like it.
Proceed. Why don't...
No, it's all right. It's all right.
This might be contentious for the Discord.
Okay. I don't know. It's just...
Too much or what?
I don't know. I think the Polaroids that are supposed to look like really lifelike, I don't know. It doesn't do it for me.
You're not buying that there are three Johnny Cashes inside that helmet.
Right.
They're not real.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's fine. It's good. It's creative. I'm glad that other people like it. I think it's good. So
yeah, it's something different.
All right, that's our goalie gear corner. We now move on to the triumphant return. I alluded to this, that there'd be a triumphant return of a segment in this episode. You don't see that every day. Is back because we have hockey being played around the world. Some of that is the KHL, which is, you know, we don't talk a lot of KHL these days, but this was a surprising thing that happened. I don't know who the teams or the players are, but it sure is interesting. A guy shoots from a bad angle, misses the net, it hits the boards in the corner, goes all the way down to the other end, and they have an empty net, so they score on their own goal. So it's like a 200-foot own goal from the opposite corner.
Yeah.
It is really incredible. I have never seen something like that.
You certainly don't see it every day.
No, you definitely don't see it every day.
The other you don't see that every day that we have is, remember when we talked to Matt Audette about that play where the guy skates to the bench and somebody replaces him behind the defense? Well, that got pulled off in the SHL, the Swedish league, and it was a 3-on-3 overtime winner to make it 5-4 here. So pretty nice play. He catches him at the far blue line in behind the defense. He goes in, scores, goalie bangs his stick on the pipe because he's angry. So that was Christian Vesalainen.
What's crazy is it looks amazingly like too many men because mm-hmm. it's 3-on-3 and there's just so much open ice there. And you're like, how is he? But what a well-executed play. I'm hoping we see that happen a few times.
Right. So I called it Hocus Pocus. I believe Matt Audette called it the Friend of the Pod play. And I've also heard it called the banana in the tailpipe, which right. I think is a reference to Beverly Hills Cop, yeah. if I'm not mistaken. So
wasn't he going to signal to us or something?
I think so. I don't know. We got to go back and listen. I think he was, well, he was going to do the play, first of all.
Yeah.
And that would have been cool. But he said there wasn't an opportunity because he didn't have the near zone face-off.
The Thunderbirds home opener is on September 30th, yeah. two Saturdays.
WHL kicks off this weekend. So
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
We're back.
We're back. We made it.
You don't see that every day. We now move on to our weekly one-timers.
Whoopsh.
Our first weekly one-timer.
Whoopsh.
Maria Fujimagari has signed a PTO with the Kalamazoo Wings of the ECHL. I just think that's pretty cool. She is going for men's professional hockey, which I think is pretty awesome. She previously played for AIK of the SDHL, which is the women's league in Sweden. She also played for PHF, and she played for UMaine. So
pretty
good. Like
oh, look at that.
We're rooting for her.
Touching all the bases.
Our next weekly one-timer, Jujar Kara.
Who put this in here?
I don't know. Jujar Kara, a former Everett Silvertip. I'm trying to make sure that we keep tabs on all the players with ties to the Pacific Northwest.
There's been others that I've passed on, but okay. Right.
Well, he signed a one-year deal with the Minnesota Wild.
Difference maker for the Wild?
No, I don't think so. But
yeah, I don't think so either.
Two-way deal.
I actually like him as a
one-year
player.
One-year, yeah, me too. $775,000.
Yeah.
Our next weekly one-timer. A couple different new standalone streaming services are getting launched. And John, I know you love talking about this.
I love this.
Why don't you just take this one? Go ahead.
So MSG Networks announced a direct-to-consumer streaming offer called MSG Plus. And you can buy individual games of teams that they have for $9.99, one game. Or you can subscribe for a month, $30. But they actually have the Rangers, Islanders, Devils, Sabres, and Knicks. For $30, you get all those games. That's pretty good. And then Vegas just announced kind of a similar deal just for their area. It's called Nighttime Plus.
Nighttime Plus. Yeah. I like that.
Oh, that's cute. And it's $7 per game or $70 for the full season. And apparently they're going to have some shoulder content, so not just the games itself. I love the idea of paying you know, $100 for a season for one team in the NHL. I like where it's going. I think we're a little ways away from seeing anything like that here. But yeah, this is just the way things are changing. And the more we see this, eventually we'll come to Seattle.
Very good. Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. A couple of new captains have been announced. You want to take this one, Curtis?
Yep. The St. Louis Blues announced Braden Schenn as their next captain. Any thoughts?
That's not the one you're excited to
announce. Any thoughts on Braden Schenn?
I was surprised by that one, personally.
Yeah? Why is that?
I don't know. I've just never... Like, I think he's a good player, you know? When I think of the St. Louis Blues, I don't think of Braden Schenn.
Who do you think of? Ryan O'Reilly?
He's no longer there? Not on the team anymore, but yes, that is who I think of. Yeah. So.
What about Tarasenko? He's no longer on the team.
He's also not on the team anymore. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the problem with the St. Louis Blues right now. They just don't have much of an identity, do they? All right, so what's the one that you're excited to announce, Curtis?
Well, I was going to talk more about Braden Schenn.
Okay, but what do you got?
If we must, we can move on. Okay. We can move on. The Boston Bruins named Brad Marchand as the next captain. So this is an interesting one. Brad Marchand, not the most well-liked player across the league, has a long history.
Yeah, of licking players.
Of various run-ins on various...
captain-like.
Yeah, on various sides of the line. Certainly, you know, you don't want to hear that headline, you know, Bruins captain Brad Marchand suspended 8 games for serial licking. That's not what you're looking for. But I was actually talking about this with a few folks and a listener, Elizabeth, being one of them, at Kraken training camp. And we were originally thinking, this was before Brad Marchand was named captain. And we were, sending it back and forth and thinking, it might be a little difficult for someone to name someone like Brad Marchand as your captain because his success is dependent on playing right on that edge. You know, how he gains his advantage is outworking, outpesting the opponents. He's a skilled player too, but in that way, he's like Yanni Gord. I had a similar concern with him, with the discussion of him potentially being named a captain. You know, you want him.
Whoa. I'm not going to stand for that. Not in the studio here.
I'm not equating the two players. Okay. I'm just saying that Gord succeeds by playing that high energy, pesky style as well. I don't think you want either of those two players thinking they can't play a certain way because they have to perform the captain's role. Like it would be somehow... You know, they have to play in a more gentlemanly way, a Lady Bing type of way. I don't think Brad Marchand can succeed if he's out there to win a Lady Bing.
I'm trying to think if there's been any kind of like a nasty captain out there, if you know what I mean. Like, you ever thought about, is there anybody that's
like kind of played scumbag kind of player?
Yeah, I don't want to say scumbag. I don't think Marchand is a scumbag
certainly
anymore.
Back in the day, I think there were a lot
of
those.
But like in the last 15, 20 years. I mean, nobody jumps out at me, but...
You don't think scumbag is a fair?
Well, I think it's only fair in the sense that we're having this conversation about Brad Marchand and not any other captain we can think of.
Sure.
So I'd been hesitant about the Bruins going that way, but you can't miss him. He's all over social media, smiling a big smile with the Bruins C. And I've heard some interviews with him.
Not on my thread.
I've heard some interviews with him. He is taking it very seriously. He's saying all the right things, but I don't know. I want to see how it plays out on the ice.
I saw a lot of Charlie McAvoy talk as well. Would that have been your kind of pick, do you think?
I think he's the pick more along the lines of a Matty Beniers, or in the St. Louis example, maybe Robert Thomas or something like that.
It's like love Robert Thomas.
The future.
He's pretty young though, right?
Yeah, younger future of the team. Charlie McAvoy's a little older than Beniers and Thomas, but you know, the younger player who's maybe the future of the team, who, you know, has
plenty of runway.
Runway, you know, good public persona to date. So
McAvoy's a little nasty too though, right? Like
he can play physically. Yeah. I don't know that he has the same reputation as Marchand, though.
Not to that caliber.
I think
Marchand's in a mix of skill and nastiness. So
Is Milan Lucic's back okay?
Is this anything new or is this
It's more pronounced, though, than it was before. I saw the video of Marchand getting his C the other day, and I was like, wow.
His skating posture is very different than Carson Rakoff's skating posture, for example.
Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite, in fact.
Our next weekly one-timer, that was way too much Boston Bruins captaincy talk, if I do say so myself. The PWHL had their draft this week. Taylor Heisey of the University of Minnesota was the first overall pick by the to-be-named Minnesota franchise. So any thoughts on that?
No,
I like the way that they did this. They're, you know, it's like a, it's an interesting mix of like they signed some of the star players and then they also had the draft to like supplement it. I think that's, I think it's a cool way that they did it.
And there's still technically free agents out there still. Yeah. There's a couple that did not get drafted that people are expecting to get drafted, might sign. But yeah, I mean, you got to do it somehow. But should be exciting. We don't know team names or team colors or anything.
No, we might know team colors. They all switched their Twitter profiles today. So like Minnesota is purple, I think. And I think it was Boston was like a reddish maroon color. Mm. And yeah, so they're starting to like drop hints about
like the Red Sox and then like maybe the Vikings.
Yeah, maybe.
Huh. Interesting.
We'll see. But anyway, the draft has happened and they're marching towards that getting started relatively soon. So pretty cool. Our final weekly one-timer. Whoosh, lots of injury updates from around the Pacific Division. Touted prospect Brant Clark sustained an injury. They'll keep him out 7 to 10 days. These are all pretty minor, actually. Mason McTavish day-to-day with an injury. He tweaked something. Logan Couture is out with a lower body injury considered week-to-week, which that's... By Dave Haxtell talk, that's very severe if it's week to week, right?
Yeah.
I think even Jonas Donskoy is still listed as day to day.
He's still day to day to this day, even though he retired.
Yeah. Because of a, well, we don't need to joke about why he retired, but
no.
No, but he did literally call him day to day, I think, all season, and his career was over. So Matthias Ekholm, sideline. Is any of this interesting? We're just going through here with guys that are like out for a few days.
You never know how this impacts starting lineups and if it's a nagging injury that kind of tracks them all season.
Yeah.
Like we're not listing all teams' injuries, just kind of focusing on the Pacific. But it's also a reminder that Kraken could have some because we pretty much naming every single team in the Pacific except the Kraken.
Yeah.
Who knock on wood.
And I'm knocking on wood. We did see at training camp today, we saw every NHL competition skater out there. I don't think we saw Philip Grubauer unless I missed him. He might have been on the other rink where I wasn't, but we saw every skater out there and no one looked physically limited to me.
And Oliver Shillington, unable to participate in opening day of training camp because of medical and fitness testing, revealing that he's unfit to play. That doesn't sound good.
No. But they're being cagey about this stuff already. So,
all right, we close the show. Those are our weekly one-timers. And we close the show with our tweets of the week. I actually really wanted to do my tweet of the week earlier, but I didn't want to spoil it because it would have been a pretty good segue. But so Casey DeSmith is going to wear number 29 with the Canucks. And so my tweet of the week comes from Rob Williams, which is Rob at Rob the Hockey Guy. He says, Felix Potvin fans are furious. And there's a picture of Felix Potvin wearing, obviously, number 29. That was his number. But why I love this is because I think it was just maybe 2 weeks ago, somebody asked us what our favorite goalie gear was. And I talked about like the later day Felix Potvin when he was wearing like the Brian's pads that had cats on him. We're back to goalie gear now, by the way. But this is a picture. This is like prime example. And I don't even remember him playing for the Vancouver Canucks. So he went, I'm telling you, he went on this like world tour and just made all these incredible sets of goalie gear for like every team. And he continued to wear his cool Felix Potvin signature mask, but just with like the local colors. So so I really liked that one. Well done, Rob Williams. John, do you have a tweet of the week?
I do.
Okay.
It comes from Ben Pope CST on the X. He's, I assume that's Chicago Sun-Times, beat writer for on the Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay.
Says Connor Bedard on what he's learning about Chicago so far. Quote, the drivers are kind of intense here.
Yeah, I can see that. The old Kennedy Expressway is quite terrifying. I remember I met somebody once in college and I was like, hey, where are you from? And they were like, oh, I'm from Chicago. And I said, oh, I bet you're a very courteous driver. And whoever was standing around, like, just they all started just started giggling. Laughing really hard. So mind you, I come from Minnesota, which is the land of very passive drivers. And Curtis, do you have a tweet of the week?
I do. Mine's actually a two-parter.
Okay.
So we talked about Everett Fitzhugh earlier. If you know Everett, he's a noted Detroit Lions fan. Had a little bet going, it seems, with some members of the Kraken organization.
Zach Pagans
involved, and apparently lost that bet because the Detroit Lions lost to the Seattle Seahawks. So if you were at training camp on Thursday, you saw Everett Fitzhugh walking around with a Seahawks jersey on because he lost that bet. So that's the setup to this. Everett sent out a tweet saying, lose your bets, pay your debts. Lions got me down like water in a well. upset like App State over Michigan, heated like a baked potato, embarrassed like passing on the goal line in the Super Bowl. It seems like a gratuitous shot.
Yeah.
Still my team, though. Four down the field, which is maybe a Lions thing. I don't even really know. Anyway, what I thought was actually more interesting is Dave Tomlinson replied to this tweet and said, "You kind of look good in that color of blue. Just saying." And this color of blue is the same as the Canucks. Shade of blue. So I'm wondering.
I don't think I like that.
I'm wondering. I don't like that thought at all. And I'm wondering whether Dave Tomlinson finally got the rivalry going.
Okay. This could be it.
Remember,
this could be where it starts. Moment.
I mean, if they steal Everett Fitzhugh, then it's on.
Oh, yeah. Then it's definitely on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they already took Dave.
We're going to close the border at that point.
All right. Well, that is episode 253. Thank you again to McVeigh for the 5-star review. Thank you to our Patreon members. You can also sign up at patreon.com/soundofhockey if you want to have your name shouted on the next episode.
Or if you don't, we don't have to do that. Okay, and we might not do it.
But yeah, thank you again to those that have signed up. That's pretty cool. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to the Sound of Hockey podcast. Yeah. And also on Spotify, and leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on next week's show. We'll be back very soon for episode 254. Cheers.